In our sermons through the fall, we are looking together at the Ten Commandments, the commandments given by God through his servant Moses to his ancient people Israel some 3,500 years ago as they left slavery in Egypt and were heading on their way to the land that God had promised them. They didn't know how to live with each other. They had never been responsible for their lives, and God gives them these 10 principles of life by which community life is ordered and shaped. And which shaped their lives from this time, that time, to this time. These commandments were embraced by our Lord Jesus Christ, were passed on to the early disciples, recorded in Holy Scripture for us in the 20th chapter of Exodus and the 5th chapter of Deuteronomy. And they have been at the foundation of every society that in any way calls itself Christian from that time to this. We come this morning to the 9th commandment, which tells us that we are not to bear false witness. You shall not bear false witness. Now, this commandment opens up for us a whole can of worms about truth and falsehood. In a world, on the one hand, in which many people claim there is no such thing as truth anymore. All truth is relative. Go back even 150 years, and you find the German philosopher Nietzsche saying, truth is just an illusion, just a series of metaphors which we forget are mere illusions. But today you hear more than anything else. It's all relative. That's fine from your point of view. That's truth from your point of view. But this is the way I see it. Truth is all from the perspective of the person who is speaking or the person who is observing. That's what we have on the one hand. And yet on the other hand, we have this enormous cry in our society for the truth. We want truth from our government. We want truth from our government agencies. We want truth in our businesses. We want truth in our churches and from our pulpits. So we've got this cry for truth on the one hand and this doubting that there is truth on a large scale on the other hand. And it all gets confusing very quickly. And I just want to muddy the waters even more by saying that when we think about it, for all of us, we would say, even if we believe that there is truth, that there may be times when we need, in fact, not to be quick to share the truth, but to be slow to share the truth. Let me give you an example of this to those who are doubters. Think of wartime, for example. Think of World War II in particular, and think of the invasion of Europe. And think of the Allies getting together and calling up Mr. Hitler and saying, Mr. Hitler, I'm sure you want to know when we're going to invade Europe and where we're going to invade Europe. Let us tell you. And we say, no, no, no. Don't share the truth like that. Keep it a secret. In fact, one of the great operations of World War II was Operation Bodyguard, an operation which was filled with deceit and lies so that the enemy would never figure out when the invasion was going to take place and where it was going to take place. And it was highly successful, and I, for one at least, would say, great job. You did exactly what you ought to have done in time of war. Where the whole issue of who deserves the truth and what we do with the truth is called into question. And when we look at our own world just now and what's going on with the NSA and everything else, for me at least, part of the difficulty is we're not sure whether we're at war or at peace. We have a war going on which doesn't look like any other war. And some people say, we cannot afford to share the truth in this situation. And others say, we must share the truth in this situation. Are we at war? Are we at peace? What do we do with the truth? It all just gets muddied very quickly. And I acknowledge that in this world in which we live, and that's where I want to start. But what I also want to say is this, that having said that on the boundaries there are all these issues between truth and falsehood, which are complex and in some ways perhaps unresolvable, we also know, and I think every one of us knows, there are situations in life that we face, in daily life that we face, where we know what the truth is. And we know that we are bound to pursue the truth, and we ought to do this, and yet we're tempted, and yet we struggle, and sometimes it's not easy to do. In the short term, this is something that God calls us to do. There are times for pursuing the truth. We must do it in all kinds of different situations. But even then, we have to admit there are times when pursuing the truth, even if it's right, may still feel, even in peacetime, a little bit wrong. One of my favorite television shows is called Prime Suspect. It's an old show. It goes back 20 years ago. I don't know if any of you know it. It has within it a police officer. It's a British show. It has within it a police officer by the name of Jane Tennison, played by Helen Mirren. And she is determined to pursue the truth, the absolute truth, to catch those awful criminals. But she pursues the truth at times in such a way that it gives a bad name to the truth. She pursues it with a brutality which sometimes you say, oh, that's cruel, that's vicious. I wish that this were not the truth. There's one scene in particular in one of the shows in which somebody has just been murdered. A young boy has just been murdered. And his mother is grieving. And Jane Tennison believes that the mother knows something about the murder, and she can help with the investigation. So she actually gets into the car where the mother is grieving, pouring out tears, and tries to get from her the truth. And a younger officer has to pull her back and say, not now, not now, not now. The truth business is complicated. Whether we're in war, whether we're in peace, how far you pursue it, who is to pursue it, when we are to pursue it. But it still remains the truth that in many situations in life we know we must. And the temptation is for us not to do it. If you want to see how important this is in daily society, not in cases which are in doubt, but in cases in which there is no doubt, let me point you to one website which speaks about the truth as something which our culture needs to pay more attention to. I don't believe the person who puts this website up is a Christian. He may or may not be a Christian, but it's called cheatingculture.com. Cheatingculture.com. You may want to look at it afterwards. It's run by a Princeton grad by the name of David Callahan. He says, in our whole society, we are being caught up in a web of lives, not just in those things on the fringe of society, but in running our daily businesses, caught up in a web of lies, which we have to deal with if our society is to function well. On the front page of his homepage of his website, he lists all kinds of areas where people have problem with the truth. Here's part of that list. Not all of the list, but part of it. He says, we've got the issues of insider trading, tax evasion, wage theft, pension abuses, debt relief scams, Ponzi schemes, crooked contractors, scientific misconduct, teacher cheating, academic dishonesty, copyright infringement, plagiarism, resume padding, and that's just column one. Goes on in the other column to say there's all kinds of issues with fraud, accounting fraud, foreclosure fraud, mortgage fraud, insurance fraud, procurement fraud, securities fraud, internet ad click fraud. I don't know what that is, but it scares me to death. Medicare fraud, Medicaid fraud, workers' compensation fraud, all of which thrive in our society when people don't pursue the truth, or when they abandon the truth, or they play with the truth, or when people think that nobody is watching them as they manipulate the truth. Sometimes this is a problem because of the promise and the allure of financial gain. Frequently that's the case. We might start on the low side with this, with what we might call petty tax evasion, except that petty tax evasion amounts to $3 to $4 billion of tax evasion in our society every year. When you sign your line on your tax form or somebody does it for you, is it the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Well, in many cases, it's not the truth at all. That's on what I'd call the low side. But on the high side, you've got all the corporate lying that goes on. Go back a decade or so, and you have Enron and Tyco, of course, unfolding before our eyes right now. You have the Navy contracting scandal. And then back a couple of years ago, on the business side of things, you have got the interest rate fixing scheme with a whole variety of banks. In London, for example, Barclays Bank has been involved, and the chairman, the CEO of Barclays, Robert Diamond, apparently spoke and defended his company before the British Parliamentary Committee like this. He basically said, everybody else is doing it. If we didn't do it, we'd lose out. Therefore, we must. Try that as a rationale. Well, in fact, that, I think, is the rationale that many people give these days. Everybody's doing it. If we don't do it, we're going to lose out financially. Financial gain is a reason for messing with the truth. So is the whole business of appearance before others. Why do we mess with the truth? Well, we want to appear before others better than we are. In 2009, a group called Automatic Data Processing estimated that 46% of all resumes contained exaggerations or outright lies. 46%. The pressure is on to look good. It's on with employers. We want to look good if we're seeking a job. It's also on if young people are looking for colleges. And it comes not just from an internal desire to get into the best college, but often from parents who put extreme pressure on children in order to do well. And there are some studies coming out which indicate that parental pressure is enormous, so that when it comes to cheating on exams, it's not just that those at the low end who are trying to get into the game that matters. It's those at the high end who are trying to get into the best colleges in the nation. There's a group called the Josephson Center, which produces a report on youth ethics every year. In 2012, it estimated that 51% of students cheated on exams, 51%, and 55% admitted that they lied to a teacher. 55% and 51%. Go back a decade, and Rutgers University interviewed thousands of students, some of them from Northern Virginia, and they put together quotes from those students about lying and cheating. Let me share with you a few of these. Here's one. "I actually think cheating is good. A person who has an entirely honest life can't succeed these days." I would guess that that's a very prevalent thought in our society just now. Here's another. "We students know that the fact is that we're almost completely judged by our grades. They are so important that we will sacrifice our own integrity to make a good impression." And one final one. "What's important is getting ahead. The better grades you have, the better school you get into, the better you're going to do in life. And if you learn to cut corners to do that, you're going to be saving yourself time and energy. In the real world, that's what's going to be going on. The better you do, that's what shows. It's not how moral you were in getting there." So we lie. We bend the truth. We play with the truth. We do it to look good. We do it to get ahead. We do it to avoid disappointing others. We do it because some of the relationships we have in life are just tough. Some people emotionally find it very hard to speak the truth. They're just built that way. It's just hard to speak out when you feel as if the person you're speaking to may not appreciate what you're going to say. There are other people in the world, and often they are married to the people who find it emotionally hard. There are other people in the world who speak the truth and it's easy. And they don't understand the other people who cannot speak the truth. They cannot get it out of their mouth. It is hard if you think you're going to upset somebody. The rule of life is be nice no matter what. And the truth takes a much lower place in your life if that's what you're like. But the world is filled with these people, and we need all of them. But it makes it hard when it comes to pursuing the truth. Sometimes it's just easier, we say to ourselves, it's just easier to fudge, to be silent, to nod agreement, to go along. It's hard to speak the truth. But actually, it's not just hard for those who find it emotionally hard to speak the truth. For those who like to speak the truth, it still can be hard to pursue the truth the whole way. Even in the realm of science, which is based on finding, discovering the truth that we never knew, it can be hard. Some people say they will only believe the truth that comes from scientific investigation, but many scientists these days apparently are getting worried that claims of scientific proofs in this, that, and the next thing are being grossly exaggerated. Some of you may read The Economist magazine. 4 weeks ago, they had an extended article called Trouble at the Lab. Trouble at the Lab. Among other things, they said many things, but among other things, they pointed out that money flows into science to discover what is new. Money flows into scientific investigation to discover what is new, and once people think they've found out what is new, the money flows somewhere else. The trouble is this, that most of science is not exciting, it's boring. It's about doing an experiment and repeating it and repeating it, replicating it in different places until you are sure that this is something that can, in fact, be repeated in all kinds of other places. But what the economist was saying was this, that once the initial discovery is made, it hits the press, it becomes news, it becomes truth, and then the drudge work of repeating and repeating and repeating and the money that is necessary to do that isn't always there. So even in the scientific community, there is this fear that there is an increasing number of assured results of science which aren't quite as assured as they claim at first to be. Whether it's emotionally difficult or whether it just takes perseverance, it can be hard to invest in the truth, to pursue the truth, and to speak the truth. Of course, none of this is new. It does have to do with the world in which we live, but none of it is new. The Bible is filled with stories of people bending the truth, twisting the truth, playing with the truth, and outright lies. The first story in the Bible about Adam and Eve is really about truth and falsehood, about God speaking the truth, eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and you will die, and the devil saying, oh, that's a lie, don't listen to that. God doesn't speak the truth, does God? It's about truth and lies. The forefather of the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, the Muslim faith, Abraham, had a hard time speaking the truth. On one occasion, he was down in Egypt in front of the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt, who had eyes for his wife Sarah, for Abraham's wife Sarah. Abraham saw this and he thought, good grief, I'm in trouble here. Let me say something to the king of Egypt. You know what he said? He said, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Now try that in your marriage. I'm not sure how far you will get with that. They discovered that this wasn't quite the truth. Well, it was a half-truth. She was a half-sister. But there's all the world the difference between that half-truth and the whole truth. Or the story of Jacob and Esau that we shared with the children, about wanting to please, about wanting to get, about wanting to gain, and deceiving even a person whom you love, somebody closest to you. Or the prophet Elisha with his servant Gehazi. Gehazi, seeing that a general by the name of Naaman had a ton of money and he didn't care about it, and he said, I just want a little of that, nobody will notice, and willing to tell a lie in order to get it. Or we move to the New Testament, and there is poor Simon Peter, one of those who I think found it emotionally hard to tell the truth, though his life was in great danger at the time at Jesus' trial. When asked, are you a friend of this man, Jesus, saying, nope, never seen this man in my life before. Couldn't force it out of him at that moment for fear. We might have been afraid as well. And Jesus himself standing before that same crowd, and one lie after another, bearing false witness against him that would lead to his death. It's in the face of all this rather bad news, all these complexities, all these fears and emotions, all of these temptations that surround the telling of truth, that God still says to his ancient people and says to you and me, you shall not bear false witness. You shall not do it. And we cry out, how, Lord, how are we to be people of the truth? How are we to do this? And I would leave you with three suggestions. Well, more than suggestions, I would say three truths to remember, to keep in mind when we are tempted to fudge or twist the truth or tell an outright lie. The first is this. Your sin, says the book of Numbers, your sin will find you out. Think nobody knows? Think again. Think nobody knows? Think again. Well, first of all, God knows, and God holds us to account. But not only that, business guru Stephen Covey says that if in fact you have deceit in the core of your being, it will be manifest in all your dealings. It will come out somewhere. Do not think that you can hide it. This is what he says. If I try to use human influence, strategies, and tactics of how to get other people to do what I want, while my character is fundamentally flawed and marked by duplicity and insincerity, i.e. by breaking the ninth commandment, then in the long run, I cannot be successful. My duplicity will breed distrust, and everything I do will be perceived as manipulative. You cannot hide it. It will come out in one way, shape, or form. It simply makes no difference how good the rhetoric is or even how good the intentions are. If there is little or no trust, there is no foundation for permanent success. Get it wrong on the truth level, and it will come out, whether to God or to others around about you. Make no mistake about it. Numbers 32, verse 23, your sin will find you out. Second one, remember this. Your sense of integrity is not worth losing. I know you think that. You know that. Maybe not at the moment when you're tempted, but in your deepest heart, when you enter into the world of untruth, you lose an integrity, which surely we want to maintain in our lives. Not being perfect, but nevertheless being people who pursue the truth. Honesty as the best policy. Some of you may remember a female athlete who was very famous in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Her name was Babe Zacharias Didrikson. She was one of the first female professional golfers at the beginning of the ladies' PGA. On one occasion, she was playing in a PGA competition, and she disqualified herself. She disqualified herself. The judges didn't, referees, umpires didn't disqualify her. The rule keepers didn't disqualify her. She disqualified herself for playing the wrong ball. She'd hit her ball into the rough. She'd played out of the rough what she thought was her ball. When she got onto the fairway to play the next shot, she realized it wasn't her ball. And that's the end. That's over if somebody finds out. Nobody found out. She saw it, and she disqualified herself. A friend came up to her afterwards and said, "Why did you do that? Nobody would have known." To which she said, "I would have known. I would have known." And she didn't want to live with the person she would have become if she hadn't told the truth at that moment. Your own sense of personal integrity. Bring that into the picture along with the fact that our sins will find us out. And then finally, the last word is this. And it's so foundational to our understanding of the gospel and our lives as Christians. That success in life, the best in life, is not found by lifting ourselves up above others or pushing other people down, but by pursuing the will of God, but by pursuing the will of God, by trusting in God. The great truth of the gospel is that our Lord Jesus is a good shepherd who will never fail us or forsake us. He will lead us on the best of all possible paths in life for you and me, if we hold his hand, no matter where it is or what it involves, this belief is critical, and we don't have to mess with the truth to find that path. As the book of Proverbs said years ago, our call is to trust in the Lord with all our heart, not to rely on our own insight or our own manipulations, in all our ways to acknowledge God, including his revelation in Scripture and in these commandments. And he will direct our paths. That's his promise. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Let us bow before God in prayer. Holy God, guide us in this complex life. Guide our nation too. Guide us as a church, guide us as individuals in every way. Help us to know how to handle the preciousness of truth that you give to us, and so to trust you with our lives. Through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, we pray. Amen.